Saddle up your horses. Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walter Show. God bless you today. Boy, what a week I have had. I don't know what kind of week you have had. I've been on the road and traveling, and basically I am wiped out. These time zone changes, I don't do well. It's fine going from West Coast to East Coast. East Coast to West Coast is a problem. Even though I gained the 3 hours, I am flat out done by about 6 o'clock at night. Anyway, I'm going to do my best. I feel good. Don't worry. I had some chocolate to boost me a little bit here. I don't do coffee. I do chocolate, but it's not to boost me. I just do chocolate because I love chocolate. Okay, let's get rolling here. We got some interesting things to cover here today. Try to start with good news, as you know. And one of the things that I'm kind of proud about in the state of Arizona is that Grand Canyon University, and there is no perfect Christian college, but it is the largest Christian university in the United States. I think it's on the north side of Phoenix, and the people that I have met from there haven't met very many, and I can't tell you that they come across as super strong Christians, but not too many 21-year-olds or do, 22-year-olds do. But each one of them I've met has been just a really bedrock, morally conservative person. So there's certainly a Christian spine, if you will, to this school. As you may know, Joey No Brains Corn Pop Biden and his Department of Education, loosely so-called, sprung a $38 million fine on the school, alleging without proof, and in fact the proof indicates quite the contrary, that they were overcharging tuition on their doctoral students. Well, I don't know how you get to a $38 million fine on just doctoral students. There aren't that many to begin with. And so that's what they're, and what was the point? The point was by the Biden administration to absolutely try to bury the biggest Christian university in the United States. Now, why is this good news? Well, because Trump just undid it. Trump canceled the debt. Well, it was a fine. It wasn't a debt, because he didn't owe anything. It was a fine that had been imposed upon Grand Canyon University. And it's over, it's done. It's sort of what we say in law, with prejudice, meaning the way in which it was canceled was such that it cannot come up again or be reimposed by a subsequent administration. I hate to say it, but the Democrats are so incredibly evil and untrustworthy that you have to do the very best you can, Trump and others, to insulate revenge, insulate the parties that have been beaten up by Biden from revenge by a subsequent Democrat. Oh, because they'll try to do it. I shudder at the thought of what this country is going to be like if we lose in 2028. Now, J.D. Vance, he's got the training wheels on, but those wheels are getting increasingly unnecessary. I think he's doing a fabulous job as the president in training. He's not VP, he's a president in training, the way I see it. Will he be enough to topple Gavin Newsom, who I think will be the candidate? Of course, I thought that for years. I thought that's who it would be in 2028, and I was wrong, but maybe he's just getting the wheels greased. At the same time, he's greasing his hair, but that's who I expect that it will be. I think Vance could beat him. I do, but it just depends where there's so much. I don't want to spend more time than I should, but this was great news that this school has been liberated from a ridiculous, politically imposed, Christian-hating, demonic, I realize this is all redundant, democratic administration. Now, next piece of good news. There's been a lot of flack Trump has taken about, and whoever's running it now, the Kennedy Center in D.C., which basically has been my tax dollars and your tax dollars funding left-wing art and entertainment, just like NPR, right? National Public Radio. It's not public radio. It's left-wing radio. Always, it has been for decades, paid for by the government for the sole purpose of keeping left-wing people and Democrats in power. And why do we pay for that? Why are we paying for any of this garbage? Why are we paying Harvard or any university, particularly Poison Ivy League schools, one stinking dime? Why are we paying taxes for them to facilitate foreign students to come to this country and get a Harvard education paid for by you and me? Why are we doing that? Because there wasn't anybody out there to stop it. Primarily because George Bush 1 wasn't Donald Trump. George Bush 2 wasn't Donald Trump. Mitt Romney certainly wasn't Donald Trump. We haven't had a Donald Trump. Why are we putting up with this stuff? It seems like we're taking the long road to this. I wouldn't fight too hard and end up in the courts now. Just do a budget that cuts this stuff out. Just cut it out in the next budget. Sorry, we don't have the money. So, too bad. So sad you lose. Just cut them out. They've lost their monthly allowance forever. I think every single university should be cut off, every single one. From now, if a state wants to go fund it, if Massachusetts wants to fund Harvard, let them go stupid. I mean, if they want to do that, then they can at the state level. They're entirely entitled to kiss away their own taxpayer dollars however they want. And eventually they'll get booted out, even by some left-wingers who are tired of excessive taxes and paying even for stuff that they like. But the Kennedy Center is run by Trump people now. And how does it manifest? Well, they hosted a free screening of the Christian animated film, The King of Kings. Now, I went to go see that in a theater about a month ago, and it's probably the first movie I've seen in a theater in, man, I don't know, 10 years? I'm not really sure. It's been a long time. I'm just not interested in paying a lot of money for something that I don't even know if I'm going to like. Well, this one I knew I was going to like. And I can tell you, it was fabulous. If you have a chance to see it, it's great. It's animated, but that's sort of my level anyway. Animation, Bugs Bunny, Looney Tunes, and now we're on to Jesus films that are animated. I'm there. I'm all on it. But it's a Christian film that will take the audience through a journey through history alongside this young boy, as he would witness Jesus' miracles, his trials, and of course, the ultimate sacrifice. But this is playing for free at the Kennedy Center. Would this, could this ever have happened under Joey No Brains? No way, Jose. It could not ever have happened under the left-wing director, left-wing board of directors, left-wing administrator, and Christian haters, which seem to find a comfortable little nucleus of themselves in and around D.C. You know, in the book of Daniel, where the Prince of Persia is, he's got a stronghold there. And the angel, I think it's Gabriel, not Michael, was called in to fight with the Prince of Persia because that was a demonic spirit that had a stranglehold over a geographic area, over a country. Do you think there's been demonic activity in and around and over and under Washington, D.C.? Duh. Maybe for like 30, 40 years. Previous good presidents that we've had, few as they've been. Reagan couldn't get rid of the deep state. He tried. It didn't work because he had too many people in Congress that were interested in getting reelected, and they couldn't do that by taking the action necessary to do it, i.e. cut the budget for left-wing agencies and departments. That's the only thing they do. That's the only thing you do. Democrats only understand one thing, and that is a financial spanking. Big time. One more item of good news here. This hasn't happened yet, but it's in the planning work. It's under consideration. It's being talked about. Trump has launched the idea of actually going after some Biden officials for treason. And in his words, treason at the highest level for opening up the southern border. So who do you think that might be? Oh, Mr. Mayorkas. Yes, Mr. Mayorkas, I think maybe you might possibly be up for a treason trial. Alejandro? Yes, Alejandro, I think that you are a traitor to this country. And if treason is at the highest level, now understand Congress handles that. They're basically the court. And I think it was, who was it, the Rosenbergs, the ones who sold the secrets of the atom bomb to the Soviets. They were executed for treason. And I think there's only been a couple of treason cases in this country. Maybe only that one. I'm not sure. It's not something we do for fun and profit. But Congress doesn't have to give the gallows to whoever is a victim. I mean, or whoever is the defendant, let me put it that way. Because Alejandro Mayorkas, you are not a victim. You are the perpetrator. And his opening up the borders is so treasonous. So when Trump talks about treason at the highest level, because Congress has a range of penalties that they could apply, from probation to taking him off at the knees with a rusty knife to shooting him, gallows, what have you. When he's talking treason at the highest level, I think he means the death penalty. And Mayorkas would certainly be would show up as numero uno, Alejandro, in this list of those who deserve to be tried for treason. And, of course, if he's convicted in a fair trial, then off with the head or whatever they need to do with him. It's got to have a fair trial. But if he's convicted for treason, then I would go for the death penalty because that's what, and I agree with Trump, if it's treason at the highest level, then it's treason with a maximum and most severe penalty. I mean, that only makes sense, I would think. Okay, one last thing, and this isn't necessarily good news because this hasn't happened yet either, but maybe it's coming down the pike. For those of you who were born and raised out west, you might not know that that's an eastern, mostly southern expression coming down the pike. Because a pike in the southeast, from about Kentucky south and east, a pike is a highway, or it's a road. So we're talking about coming down the pike, we're talking about coming down the road. Now, most of you know that, but I'm surprised how many expressions I use that even out of the Midwest are unknown out west, and definitely not known in if it originated in the South, such as, that's a pig in a poke, hoisted on your own petard. Those are a couple of them. Cows in the ditch. What does that mean? I had a guy one time from New Jersey ask me, listen to a guy from Mississippi talk. He said, well, the cow's in the ditch. He leans over and he said, what the heck does cows in the ditch mean? And I said, well, if you weren't saddled with the unfortunate consequences of being raised in New York City, you would know. Cows in the ditch means a cow is cast, and that means a cow is upside down, essentially, or more upside down than even sideways, and definitely not right up. And the cow can't right himself. So when the cow goes down in the ditch, unless somebody saves the cow is typically going to die of, if there's water in the ditch, the cow would drown, as one did that I know of, but it also could die of a choking, kind of a, you know, whatever. So Republicans have got this idea. I like this one because they're spending way too much money if this big, beautiful bill, which I hope we can talk about, because it's too big and anything big is not beautiful. I'm sorry I have to disagree with Trump on this one and agree with, and you knew the time was coming, didn't you? You knew the day would come that you were going to have to pick between Elon Musk and Donald Trump. Not for any eternal consequences, but on the basis of a particular issue. I'm not one that would side with Trump just because Trump's done a lot of good things. If he's wrong on something, he needs to own it. Got a lot of pride. But Elon Musk has done a lot of great things. Elon Musk does not like this bill. And I understand it. I realize I'm digressing here, but I'll get back to it in a minute. Elon Musk does not like the big, beautiful bill, and he's out of there. He's left Washington, D.C., and his time was about up anyway, but he left the day after he made the comment that he does not support Trump's big, beautiful bill. Why? Because Musk has been there trying to save billions of dollars to reduce the national debt, or at least significantly reduce the growth in the national debt, whereas this bill is going to just simply add to our national debt. You know, it's interesting because this is a kind of bill that, for the most part, most Democrats would just drool over. Oh, we get to spend more money that's not ours. What a great idea. We got a Republican helping us spend money that we didn't have to earn. Problem is they hate Trump so much that they're just against anything he's for, and therefore anything that he's against. It's pretty simple, frankly. But what the Republicans are eyeing, I think, in an effort to at least help reduce to some extent the impact of this big, not-so-beautiful bill, it's just too big. It's too broad. It goes too deep and wide in adding additional spending, which the money of which we don't have. We do not have. So the Republican plan here is to begin to tax the billions of dollars that foreigners here in this country send out of the United States to other countries. And they're talking about a 5% tax. So if somebody, I don't know, ships money to Aunt Rosie in wherever Aunt Rosie lives, and it's $500, 5% of that, then it doesn't leave the U.S. without paying a $25 tax. Pretty easy, right? It's sort of like we're not taxing the imports, we're actually taxing the exports, being currency, current money, which may be arguably much of is coming from illegal aliens shipping it outside of the United States. I like that idea. India picks up in these payments $32 billion a year. $32 billion. Well, what would a 5% tax on $32 billion be? Come on, you can do it. Well, it's $1.6 billion. Every year, just from the money going to one country. And I can tell you the people that are shipping money to India are not going to not ship it because the $100 they're sending Aunt Rosie now is going to cost them $105 to get it out of the U.S. How about Mexico? Mexico, the money that flows into Mexico from the U.S. amounts to 4.5% of the entire nation's gross domestic product. Gross domestic product is the value of all the goods and services produced in the country in a year. This is 4.5% of that number. This is no small number. And so the whole idea or concept, which the people that are against this, which are Democrats, of course, and the people in the other countries are saying, look, these people are in your country, they're doing a work that maybe others aren't doing, blah, 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 the usual, and same old, along that line. Look at how those people, mostly immigrants, many of them illegal, but how they're actually benefiting the country. Well, I have to ask this fundamental question. How does money not spent, it's earned in the U.S., but how does money not spent in the U.S. help the U.S.? How does money that flows out of the U.S. and spent in Mexico, India, go right on down the line, how does that benefit America? They keep talking about these workers are benefiting America, not with the money they send out. It's distinctly disadvantageous to America. I'm bringing up a point. I'm somewhat bothered that others aren't talking about that point. Well, anyway, let's move along. I have a piece here I'm going to quote from rather liberally. Don't use that term too often. Which reminds me, I saw a bumper sticker on a car. I don't know where it was. I just returned to Arizona from the Midwest yesterday, actually. And I saw this thing on the back of a car, and maybe you've seen it. It just said, "Hardworking mom, mom working hard to not raise liberals." Wow, that nails it. Doing what she can to make sure her kids don't just turn out to be leftist punks. No brains, no cojones, no morals. Just like the ones that are teaching them that garbage in our so-called institutions of higher learning, which we are finding are lower learning. The people who have friends in those universities, reminds me of Garth Brooks' song, that I've got friends in low places. The low places now are the universities. But anyway, Robert Knight, I want to just quote him. Like I said, when somebody writes something better than I can say it, then I'm going to quote him, and I'm going to quote Josh Hammer in a piece right after this. But he's talking about when the gaslighting fails in this country. And Knight says, quoting, "The only thing to come out of COVID-19 is the public's awakening to the fact that government officials will lie to us and the media will help them do it." Surprising it's taken this long, right? He said these things haven't ever been so blatantly obvious as they are now, or at least not since the Vietnam War or the disappearing weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, which weren't there. He said, and if they've lied to us 6 ways from Sunday about a pandemic and reasons to invade other countries, it's a sure bet they've been lying to us about many other things. So the case in point is their patently absurd attempt to pin the cover-up of former President Joe Biden's mental collapse on unnamed White House sources. Anybody, that is, but the White House reporters, who all saw it up close every day for many, many years. And it goes on to say, ample footage exists of various network personalities insisting, including Jake Tapper, that Mr. Biden was sharp, even though millions of Americans knew otherwise, even before the disastrous meltdown in the 2024 presidential debate. Their contention that he was sharp, he was on it, he had it together. I love the Babylon Bee piece that they did. And it said CNN contends that Joe Biden is sharp, has his wits about him, and is ready to go the very next day. And the picture shows Joe Biden in a casket. He's dead. But they're still contending he has his wits about him and he's as sharp as ever. That was satire, of course, but it actually is a little bit of truth. Maybe the guy was the walking dead for the last 3 of the 4 years he was in office. He's never been very sharp. He's always been a liar. I have a song I wrote him. I can't do it tonight. I can't do it. I was actually going to sing a song I wrote about Joe Biden on the plane. Maybe next week. Done to the tune of the Wizard of Oz song, If I Only Had a Brain. I had so much fun writing it. People on the plane wanted to know what my song was going to be like. Well, anyway, moving on here. He says, as usual, then the satirical Babylon Bee, now I'm quoting about this, nailed it when they said, quote, Jake Tapper uncovers startling evidence that Biden's decline was covered up by Jake Tapper. So Jake discovers that he was the one covering up everything. Those guys are so good. So that's the end of Robert Knight's piece. I want to get to something yet more serious, though, than this, and it's the globalization of the Intifada, meaning the uprising against Israel and anything associated with Israel, which would include Christians and, by further inclusion, the United States generally. So Josh Hammer wrote a piece, which I'm going to quote liberally from this piece as well, that about globalizing the Intifada and the evils of left-wing political violence. He said that the other night was a natural and inevitable consequence of a conscientious years-long campaign to dehumanize Jews and otherwise all supporters of the world's only Jewish state. And of course, he's referring to the cold-blooded murder of the two Israeli ambassadors. He says, how often has the concept of microaggression and its campuses' safe spaces corollary took off last decade, but we were told that words of violence come from the right. So we are really not surprised to take seriously the clear calls for Jewish genocide that have erupted on American campuses and throughout American streets since Hamas killed 1,200 people October 7th, 2023. Why should we be surprised? Are we really supposed to believe that chants such as globalize the Intifada, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, there is only one solution, the Intifada revolution? Are we really supposed to believe that they're just vague and open to competing interpretations devoid of any discernible meaning? Well, when peacefully demonstrating pro-Israel Jewish American Paul Kessler was killed by pro-Palestinian thug in Thousand Oaks, California, in November of 2023, that is what Intifada revolution looks like in practice. When Israeli woman Tesla Geese was murdered by jihadists while en route to the hospital to deliver her baby earlier this month, that was what from the river to the sea looks like in practice. And when two beautiful young Israeli ambassadors, staffers, were executed while leaving an event this week at Washington's Capitol Jewish Museum, that is what globalized the Intifada looks like in practice. Really? He said. What do you think was going to happen? I haven't finished this piece. I'm going to pick up on it on the other side of the break. Don't go away. This is Robin Walter with The Robin Walter Show on the Red Sky Radio Network.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race where the Fords and Lincolns were setting the pace? That story is true. I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor and it's really souped up. That Model A body makes it look like a pup's got 8 cylinders and uses them all. Got overdrive, just won't stall.
Well, I have to say that song went in by mistake. I meant to play 409 by the Beach Boys, but it was a car song. Maybe I've got it mislabeled. Okay, back to the story here by Josh Hammer, talking about the globalizing the intifada. In other words, take worldwide the rising up against Israel, Israeli supporters, Jews wherever they are, the nation of Israel, Jews in particular, and anyone who supports Israel. Well, a globalization of the intifada would seem to indicate that we're pretty close to the Antichrist, wouldn't it? Well, I'm not saying that's the case, but even Adolf Hitler did not succeed in raising up, lighting a fire of anti-Semitism much outside Western Europe, and to some extent in the Middle East with the Muslims that sided with Hitler. The Muslims were on Hitler's side, make no question about it. And maybe North Africa. So you go around the Mediterranean, extreme North Africa, the Middle East, and Europe. This is an event or events that are rising up in a much broader reach, geographical reach, than World War II. So he said, really, what do you think was going to happen when all this rhetoric is out there, that all their buzz phrases and then they're spewing hatred and people getting worked up and feeling justified in attacking and killing Jews? He said, indeed, it is the easily foreseeable nature of the slayings that night that is perhaps the most tragic part of it all. The suspect in the deaths of Yaron Lachinsky and Sarah Milgram left behind a handy manifesto laying out a clear political motivation. This was not a random drive-by shooting. This was a deliberate act, an act of domestic terrorism. And the assassin, Elias Rodriguez, has a long history of involvement in far-left activist causes. And while he clearly sought to murder Jews, the fact that both victims, this couple set to be betrothed just in the following week, this week, in Jerusalem, were actually Christians, which only underscores the globalization part of globalize the intifada. Now, they're Messianic Jews, but so what? They thought they were Jews, but the fact of the matter is Jewish Christians probably is equally deplorable to this madman from the left stirred up by all the rhetoric of losers like AOC and you could just go down the line, stirred up from. So he goes on to say, Hammer goes on to say, a previous generation of lawmakers once urged Americans to fight the terrorists, quote, over there, end quote, so that they would not harm us here. How nice. But he goes on to say how discomforting the reality in 2025 is. The radicals, both homegrown and foreign-born alike, they're already here. The monsters are in our midst. Politically motivated violence in the contemporary United States is not an equivalent problem on both the left and the right. 2012, Floyd Corkins attempted to shoot up the socially conservative Family Research Council because he heard it was anti-gay. 2017, James Hodgkinson shot up the Republican congressional baseball team a few weeks after posting on Facebook that Trump is a traitor and a threat to our democracy. 2022, Nicholas Roski flew across country to try to assassinate Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh and thus prevent Roe v. Wade from being overturned. And how could we forget that earlier this year, anti-Elon Musk activists burned and looted Teslas, assaulted Tesla's drivers because of Musk's Trump administration work with a cost-cutting Department of Government efficiency. And finally, who can forget Luigi? And I'm not talking about Super Mario Brothers. Luigi Mangione, the radical leftist anarchist who murdered United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson in cold blood in December due to his hatred of the greedy American healthcare system. So his point here comes down to this. Hammer's point is, and it's well stated, both sides, right and left, are not equally culpable. This is not an apples-to-apples comparison of left and right. They just are not equally culpable. Israel supporters in America are not out there gunning down people waving PLO flags. Nor are capitalists out there gunning down and damaging the property of socialists. And we know this. But it's just, oh, man. Oh, well, next. This is quick. I got to keep moving along. A new U.S. Senate report released by Ron Johnson, a good man out of Wisconsin. He's claiming they have the proof they got the goods on the Biden administration health officials knowing about the risk of myocarditis from the COVID-19 vaccines. But they just pushed it under the rug. They downplayed the concern. They slow walked any information to the public about the risk of taking the jab from hell. And why? It's what it's all about with the leftists. Control. We want to control you. However we can. Bundling. We're going to bundle so much we can control everything you do. I'm getting tired of looking up something on the internet. Maybe it's a new juice squeezer. I've got citrus, orange, grapefruit, lemon. And after about 15 years, my brawn juicer gave up the ghost. So I go online looking at a couple, and then what do I get? Because, you know, I get all these ads about juicers. It doesn't matter what it is. There is so much tracking, it's sort of making me want to go back to a dial phone, rotary phone. Problem is, you can't get rotary phone service. Okay, I got two pieces I want to clear up here. The first one is amazing, but not shocking. The last one is beyond the pale. I am not going to finish with the best news today, but that's the way today's is. So let's talk about Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, clearly the most ignorant, stupid, ignoramus of a Supreme Court justice to ever sit on the bench, at least in my lifetime. She's a moron. She's an idiot. She's an imbecile. And she is being regarded as being deeply corrosive. So the Supreme Court earlier this week, and something that should be good news, ordered the Democratic majority in the state of Maine, their legislature, to dissolve a censure, in other words, a prohibition of a Republican member of their legislature, to punish her for expressing her opinions about a boy being allowed on a girls' athletic team in the state. So here you got a legislator who speaks her mind that shouldn't have boys on girls' teams. And then the Democrat legislature, and Maine sucks, but we know that, but the Democrat legislature then censures her, and that's basically censors, but censure being She can't express any opinion about this. And so essentially are removing her voice from the body politic to which she was duly elected. Oh, that sounds real American, doesn't it? But her arguments are unbelievable. Now, this is a gal who didn't know what a woman was, and I don't know, maybe she's got some own identity crisis issues herself. She doesn't know what she is. Couldn't define a woman during her confirmation. Why didn't they boot her butt then? Because Joe, being the rapist, said, we're going to have a black woman on the Supreme Court, and I don't even care what a dolt she is. I don't care how unqualified she is. Well, nice move, Joe. She said, and she actually said, that this state representative, Laurel Libby, could not assert that there are any significant votes scheduled in the coming weeks, or that there are any upcoming votes in which Libby's participation would change the outcome. Can you believe this? This woman is a flat-out communist. Oh, man, I almost said it. She's a whore for the left. No brains. That's the worst kind. Maybe, no, it's not. It's not the worst kind. So what she's saying is this. I cannot even tell you how much I despise her, and I even despise Biden more for his racist selection and a gutless Senate that didn't have the guts to stand up to an obviously incompetent, impotent, imbecilical woman because they don't want to offend anybody because of their melanin in their skin. But so what she's saying basically has said, this woman, the state representative, has not asserted that there's any significant votes scheduled in the coming weeks or that there are any upcoming votes in which Libby's participation would impact the outcome. She's saying, your right as a legislator to speak is irrelevant if you cannot show that it would have made a different outcome. Then why don't we just have disqualify and censure every Democrat in the House of Representatives because they can't make a change because they're in the minority? This is the woman who shoots her big, fat, stupid mouth off about democracy, probably can't spell it without assistance, and yet is saying that this is the right way to go about things. You have to prove that you matter before you have a First Amendment right. Hey, Ketanji Jackson, baby, how about the civil rights marches? Could we have just said those civil rights marches didn't do jack? They couldn't really make any change because they weren't in control. Nothing could have happened. So let's just shut down and censor all blacks in Alabama from having any voice because they can't make a change. Do you see what a hypocritical loser she is? So one writer said here, he said, in other words, Libby's exclusion from voting in the main House of Representatives deserves emergency relief only if she can show that relief would change the result of a vote. Jackson's reasoning implies that, quote, political participation is only meaningful if it can determine an outcome of the matter. Well, let me just throw something out. So if you're going to just censure people and shut them down, how about the right to collect signatures to petition a legislature? Well, it's a long shot to get enough signatures and then get the vote through and put through the initiative process, which I lived under many years in California, the citizens' petition to vote on things that the legislature doesn't take up. So we're just going to shut down everybody's right to petition the state for a redress of grievances because it's going to be a waste of time. Her perspective is called here deeply corrosive to our Republican form of government because it would protect the outcomes of representative process, but not the right to participate in that process. In other words, whatever the result is, we're going to protect that. We just aren't going to protect the right of people to participate in the process. The Constitution very clearly protects our rights to participate in governance, even and especially if we don't win. It goes on to say, and this is absolutely true, what Jackson's reasoning suggests, if you want to call it reasoning, because there isn't any reasoning, that there is a lot of vacancy upstairs there. Her reasoning suggests her belief that minority voices don't count. That's what she's saying. And she doesn't even know her own history. Okay, now I'm on. No surprise there, but now I'm on to the shocker. For the end, I gotta try to find a way to give you an uplift here. I don't know actress or actresses. I don't give a rat's rear end about most of them anyway, but there's one out there, Naomi Watts. Don't know who she is. Couldn't pick her out of a police lineup, which is probably where she belongs. But she has her youngest child, now called Kai, K-A-I. And they hosted in Midtown East in New York City an LGBTQ, well, R-S-T-U-V-W-X-Y-Z, fundraiser to celebrate her 16-year-old son, Sam, coming out as a transgender. Okay, nothing new there so far. This was billed in New York City as a mother-daughter Holy Spirit party. They're calling this a Holy Spirit party for a guy to come out with long hair, makeup, high heels, probably excessively hairy legs, who knows, maybe shaved three times a day of this coming out party. But the fact is that this is called a Holy Spirit party, attributing to God, apparently, some favor or approval of sex changes when God made them us male and female, right? Yeah, well, he did. So Naomi says, we are so pleased to introduce... Naomi didn't say this. The person who was the MC for the event said, we are so pleased to introduce Naomi Watts as a host of the Holy Spirit. Can you believe this? At this party, which is to fundraise for the Trans Justice Funding Project. The organization's message read ahead of the event, according to the Daily Mail. Now, I got to just state one other thing here that relates to this thing, and I got to come back to my conclusion on it. This is nothing new for Hollywood. Hollywood seems to be really thrilled with celebrating the genital mutilation, the coming out of their kids as not just queer, but super queer, because trannies, as I've said many times, it's simple to me. Maybe I'm wrong, but it's simple to me. They're homos. They are queers who struggle with their same-sex attraction, and so the way they can justify their same-sex attraction is to then assume that they must, in fact, be the other sex that they aren't so that they could be attracted to their same sex, which they no longer claim to be. Pretty convoluted, isn't it? But it's actually not. That's pretty simple. The 16-year-old came out and said, hey, I'm trans. Look at me. Now, hey, look at my DNA. She didn't say that. Look at my genes. Look at my anatomy. No, I'm not going to show you my anatomy. I'm going to fake that part of it. But it's a big list of celebrity kids who are claiming to be trannies now. Tranny, non-binary, whatever the other categories are, tree stumps, whatever. But the actors and actresses that claim their kids are trannies because they're screwed up, because so much of Hollywood is screwed up, well, it includes, here's this short list, Robert De Niro, Cher, Jamie Lee Curtis, Cynthia Nixon, Marlon Wayans, Charlize Theron, if I said that right, Annette Bening, Jennifer Lopez, and it just goes down, just right down on the list. I don't need to read everybody. It's cool to be tranny in L.A. until your kids commit suicide because they still can't, they still are struggling with this. And gender-affirming care is gender-destroying care. Gender-affirming care, as they call it, is basically the infusion of ideas with which do not resonate and settle with the spirit that has been given to man and woman that will, in all likelihood, lead to suicide. The suicides among trannies that have come out is greater than the suicide rate among those who have not. Because the tranny conversion didn't solve anything. In fact, it made it worse because they did all they possibly could, and then it seemed, and then nothing has changed. They're still screwed up. They need to be what? Exercised? Demon possessed? Cast the demons out of them? I would say so. And now to call it the work of the Holy Spirit, a Holy Spirit party? I mean, would this not qualify? You know, we've had these discussions before. I mean, my wife and I with others, and I've had them with various people. You know what constitutes the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? I don't want to get into it from a theological perspective because I'm very settled on what it is. But among the things it could be, would this not be one of them? Because blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is calling that which is of Satan to be of God, and calling that which is of God to be of Satan. It's very clear in the book of Matthew. Very, very clear. But isn't it interesting further that the devil always tries to imitate the real thing? Yeah, the devil. I mean, we have had people calling abortion a ritual. I've seen people calling abortion righteous. All these words borrowed from a Christian lexicon. I've heard him call it a God thing. But I will tell you, Jesus said, you can say what you will against me. But if you say this against the Holy Spirit, saying that the work of the Satan is of the Holy Spirit, and that the work of this Holy Spirit is of Satan, you've committed blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. So this tranny, it should be the tranny blasphemy of the Holy Spirit party. But this is how bold. I'd like to say this is how bold the left is, but I'm giving the left too much credit. The satanic infusion. I'm just not talking about Hollywood, but goodness gracious, all over the place. The things that we couldn't have imagined 10 years ago, and the things that happened 10 years ago, we could not have imagined having happened 20 years ago. There's a descent. There's a deep dive into the abyss, morally. And Trump is doing what he can. But what he can do is only at a governmental level. It's only at a level where he can participate in things that he actually has influence. And frankly, he's trying to influence areas that are beyond his jurisdiction. He might as well keep trying. I don't care. Whatever effort it succeeds. But the left is digging in harder and harder and harder. They are not giving up on going deeper into the dark side in an effort to defend their positions. Nobody's being won over in the political cultural war. That's not happening. the division's getting deeper. And you know what that means. There really is ultimately no salvation for this country without, I wasn't going to say a revival. We need a vival, not revive. We don't need to bring back to life. There needs to be life. There needs to be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Great waves of the Holy Spirit convicting people of sin will do far more than executive orders. And I'm not against the executive orders, but by itself, it's a light stick. It's nothing that can make anything last. And our children and our grandchildren are sitting on the cusp of a world that we would not recognize in a few years, and they would be the victims. Sit tall in the saddle, America. You know what you got to do? Ride for the brand of Jesus Christ, because you got to speak out and defend and witness to people and get people saved. God bless you. See you next week.